T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky, broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7.
Sometimes you win a football game big and loud. Sometimes you win a football game a little bit more quietly. Sometimes you just got to survive a football game. And that's what the 49ers did on Sunday in Philadelphia. They survived the Eagles, who are trying to kill them. I mean, certainly the running backs on the team. What an interesting game, because it leaves you with that satisfaction of getting a win. You had a whole bunch of questions around how things are looking, why it's being run this way, and that's why we got Sports Talk Radio to talk about it all, and we have officially assembled in studio, and we're ready to go. Damon Ratto and Kolsky welcoming you today. Hello, Ray. Hello, Matt. Man, they gave us an awful lot to talk about.
They did, starting with the fact that even though they didn't look much like the team of a week ago, they played a better team and they covered. So, victory all around.
Yeah, I don't know how good that team is that they played, but they won, and I guess they covered as well, as Ray always lets us know. So, yeah, I don't think you can be too upset grading the team for the week, but we could still talk about some of the things that didn't look great as they wound their way to a hard-fought victory.
It is undeniable that Philadelphia's got two ingredients that all good football teams have. They're big up front, offensively on the line of scrimmage, and defensively, they're all Fletcher Cox. I mean, that is a thick football team in the middle. Where their season goes will be determined by the quarterback play and by the talent and the speed on the outside and how much they end up getting out of it. But you can see the potential there for the Eagles to be halfway decent. And they got two-cuted, I think, by their coach in a huge situation. The 49ers survived a little two-cuting from Kyle Shanahan. I don't like shovel passes on the goal line, especially when you got a power game that you're playing this afternoon. But they survived it all. And they survived what I can only describe as a very Jimmy Garoppolo game, which is, sounds like a slight, but at the end of a Jimmy Garoppolo game, you win it. So it's not a slight, but it is a slight. And it's not a slight, but it is a slight. And this is the gray area that leaves you drafting a quarterback with the third overall pick, who you then decide we're not even playing today on a day that looked like it begged for an offensive wrinkle. There was no wrinkle to be found in Mr. Trey Lance.
It was also an unusual game in that both teams ran the ball more than they threw it. That almost never happens anymore. And I almost got the sense at one point that Nick Sirianni is trying to run the kind of offense that Kyle Shanahan runs, albeit with sort of less spectacular players. Because, I mean, you know, the Eagles a year ago were 4-11-1 on merit. And what I saw yesterday was a team that defends stoutly and likes to keep the ball out of danger, which is a bit of what Shanahan has done when he's had the horses to do it.
On the other hand, one could argue that one of the reasons they ran the ball more than they passed it, in the Eagles' case at least, is that the quarterback decided to run it 10 times on the day. And for good reason, because again, that proves to be something that the Niners defense can't totally figure out. Like, he could leave the pocket after checking one or two reads and get 10 or 15 yards, it seemed, almost any time he felt like it.
It's part of their kryptonite.
Yeah.
It's a franchise-level kryptonite that they're going to run into several times again. What a fascinating weekend of football. I mean, it was good all the way around. It was just, it's the kind of game that leaves you with more questions than you have answers. But the most important answer to any question that could be asked is, what's your record after two road games? The Niners are 2-0. We have to remain focused on that while we offer up our pedestrian sitting on the couch criticisms of what might have happened, could have happened, thought it would happen, but then did not happen. I'll tell you a couple of things that thank God they happened. Thank God that on back-to-back fumbles, this team was able to pick up a first down based on sloppy, overly aggressive personal fouls that the Eagles committed. The amount of the Niners were not controlling the game, then were controlling the game, then looked to be watching it slip out of their hands like grains of sand at times. I mean, there were four different games inside that one game yesterday, and we're here to talk about them all. It was a fascinating day of football. Michael Irvin joins us at 3 o'clock today. Cam Inman back from the Greenbrier, from Philadelphia and Detroit all at the same time. We're going to talk to him a little bit later on this afternoon, and it is a day where we're focusing a ton on football. There's no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, one might even say, Ray, hold your nose.
Maximum Football!
I mean, if the Lions beat the Packers tonight, we're still on Maximum Football.
Well, you're always going to be on Maximum Football, even in the middle of June. I've accepted that. It's one of your character flaws, but we move on.
Guess who wasn't on Maximum Football? The Indiana Hoosiers. Never mind. We'll worry about that later.
Minimum
football. No. The rule is we can bring it up early in the week, but as the week goes on, you have to look ahead. But, yeah, they stink.
Oh, who gave him permission to bring it up early in the week? I don't recall being part of that meeting.
No, but if he brings it up, we get to savage him.
Okay.
Fair enough. It deservedly so. The San Francisco Giants took care of business in terms of winning a series against the first-place team. They did that. Also, the Dodgers are good. When we left, they were a game ahead of the Dodgers. We return, they're a game ahead of the Dodgers. An idle day for both teams. The A's have now won 5 in a row and climbed back into the American League wildcard conversation. So, like I said, Maximum Football is the aroma of the show. But we will serve a little baseball side dish because, man, the scoreboard watching, the what's happening all around the game, it's just awesome. It's really, really awesome. The Giants had a walk-off Donnie Barrels win Friday night. They get a shutout on Saturday, only to then be turned around and shut out themselves on Sunday. Fascinating baseball. You want high leverage innings? They all are.
Yeah, Atlanta's a weird team right now. They're barely staying ahead of Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is not very good. So
no, but they are within 4 games of that second wild card spot, which describes 4 teams right now. So,
oh no, yeah, like you said, it's a hot mess.
It's all across baseball and even in the American League because the wild card race there is getting hot. This is going to be a fascinating baseball stretch run. I'm excited for it.
Oh yeah, this is exactly the only defense for wild card baseball is that you get like basically. Every day is a train wreck for about 8 different teams.
That's Ray's favorite kind of day.
Absolutely.
How much of a train wreck does it have to be to include a 91-yard pass play in a scoreless drive? In the history of football, has there ever been a 91-yard pass play that led to 0 points at the end of that drive? Because normally, 91 yards covers almost all of a football field.
Yeah. First of all, it's hard to get a 91-play drive that doesn't get you anywhere.
A 91-play drive, that would be history.
Yeah. And then to finish with nothing
amazing.
Is even more impressive.
Amazing. We saw I think we're watching a baptism by fire for obviously young players on this team. Trey Lance didn't play. Trey Sermon got clocked in his first NFL carry. I'm glad he wasn't having. I thought he was going to get stretchered off that field. I didn't think he was going to get up and walk off that field. I'm glad that he certainly left under his own power. He'll be in concussion protocol, and we have plenty to tell you about who's remaining as a wide receiver, where they're going to be looking for more. Who's remaining as a running back, who is a running back option that they're looking at this week. We're going to go over snap counts. But D'Amador Lenore is so surviving his baptism by fire. Yeah, he did get a little burn unit toasted by Jalen Reagor on the 91-yard haul, but he also had incredible awareness when it looked like he gave up on that. Jalen Reagor stepped out of bounds, disqualified himself. It was almost 10-0 Philadelphia, and that game would have felt a lot more different at 10-0 than it was at Philadelphia's hanging around with a field goal, and then, oh, the Niners put it together and scored right before halftime, and they go into the locker room 7-3, even though they had just been outplayed for almost 29 minutes of football.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see how much different the offense would have been had they not gone in. Because I think Kyle Shanahan at this point looks like the kind of guy who has to be dragged kicking and screaming to throw the ball a lot.
Well, not only that, but to throw it any further than 7-8 yards in the air. I mean, that's what really stood out to me, is they did not even try to throw the ball downfield. And look, there's a lot of reasons for that. It might have to do more with the Philadelphia front than anything. I don't know. It sure looked like a coach who didn't trust his quarterback to throw it that far. That's what it looked like to me.
Or didn't trust his line to protect him long enough to throw it that far.
Could be.
Either.
Yeah.
And
I mean, even
though the Eagles are in so many ways different than the Lions, I'm not sure what we have in this team yet. And I think Green Bay may not provide a whole lot of other answers until we see what they do tonight. Because if they beat Detroit stupid, as I expect them to, then you're going to have to reassess, oh, they're actually pretty good. Because a week ago, they looked like they couldn't do anything.
On the Niners front, it was a fascinating day of football. On the Raiders front, it was a fascinating day of football. And a Ravens-Chiefs cherry on top of your Sunday. We got a fascinating night of football. And we got, like I said, Michael Irvin to talk about all of it with today. Cam Inman joins us, a little replay maker in case you miss Michael live in our 3 o'clock hour. We're going to make sure we jog him past you before it's all said and done today. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, we're back in studio. It's good to be here. We got an awful lot of sound to go over and a heck of a game to take apart. So stay with us this afternoon. Download the Odyssey app, favorite 95.7 The Game, to get breaking news updates. You miss any of our interviews, our best moments, you can find it all there. Powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It is wonderful to have you here. Gorgeous Monday outside. Sundress conditions all over the city, and we have not had many of those, so hopefully this is the trend of some nice weather coming our way. Niners come home 2-0. Two very different looking, feeling games. An awful lot to compare and contrast just between the two performances alone. This was a game that got off to an incredibly slow start for them offensively. missed screens, missed receivers, going backwards on a couple of first down runs. It was like the team hadn't bothered to script an opening drive, came out of the Greenbrier with a real plan to go about attacking the Eagles, or if they did, it was like a real passive, we're going to be less than aggressive, we're going to use their momentum against them and just try and catch them in well-timed screen. And the screens were not well-timed. I mean, I see this go haywire with the Bears when I look at them half the time. So I was really surprised to see them look as off-kilter as they did, and there was no rhythm to a single real moment in the entire game until you got into the second quarter, and Deebo Samuel finally made a big play over the middle. It was a beautiful pass by Garoppolo. He didn't make a lot of them, but this one was on the money.
Hasty motions out to empty the set. 11th play of this drive is a Garoppolo pass down the seam, and he connects. There goes Deebo Samuel. Yards after contact, stepping out of bounds near the 10-yard line.
It's our man Adam Amin on Fox, who a gentleman did not name check the show as he
did know,
suggested
not.
He might. I had my rabbit ears up. He didn't. But we certainly forgive him. I'm guessing
no
that's
car,
pretty
though.
Standard. No car. There will be no vehicle for Adam Amin, not even that Uber that we were talking about. But look, it was a day where nothing was going. Certainly nothing big popped until that moment. And then we get a little conclusion in the end zone. Welcome to the NFL, Juwan Jennings.
You got a timeout.
Garoppolo has a man on the perimeter. That's a touchdown. It's Juwan Jennings. His first NFL catch is a touchdown.
He was wide open. The entire defense followed George Kittle to the middle of the field, and hey, diddle diddle, it wasn't George Kittle. Juwan Jennings in the corner for a touchdown that made an ugly half of football tilt the Niners' direction going into the locker room.
I have a question, and I don't have the answer to it. Do you think a good defensive coordinator has figured out Kyle Shanahan? Because it seemed like they wanted to do more things than they did and never got around to it. And I can't, for the life of me, get my head around the notion that Kyle Shanahan wants to be Bo Schembechler. I wonder if defensive coordinators are starting to figure out, okay, this is what we take away when we play those guys. And maybe it's going to become harder for them, especially now that they have decided to go without running backs for another year, to do those things. I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but, I mean, Detroit looked completely disorganized. Philadelphia looked very organized. And maybe just Philadelphia is just a much better defensive team, but it just jumped out at me and made me wonder, maybe people are making the adjustment to Shanahan after 4 years.
It's not an absurd theory, but it feels like the adjustment to Shanahan would be a lot harder to adjust to if he were a little bit more scheme dynamic. It's like he's putting in, you know, a double tight end package, a single tight end package. You're never going to see five wide almost. It's just an odd. All right, so here's one of the things that I thought we'd eventually get to, but early on in the show, why not? We'll come back to it later on. Let's say we had two different playbooks, and one playbook was for the experienced, been there, done that, knows it all, top to bottom quarterback, and the other playbook was for the new guy. It looks like they're running nothing but the new guy playbook. Simple screens, one read throws, and it's odd that the depth and breadth of Shanahan's offensive wizardry wasn't anywhere in this game in terms of, I mean, look, it's got to be a lot harder than just my own naked eyes are giving me the feedback on, right? But it feels like if this guy had 500 plays to choose from, he reduced that list to about 12 yesterday and kept it there all day in spite of it not working like gangbusters. I'm a big believer, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yesterday was a big, it's broke, but we ain't doing anything different and it'll eventually work.
Except for QB sneaks. That was not broken and they didn't fix it all day. Let me ask you this, Ray, because I think in a vacuum, the question you asked is interesting, but I think it falls apart because can you tell me who the defensive coordinator for the Eagles is?
I can't.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to be a genius if you give him 6 months. And we all thought Nick Sirianni was an idiot till week one.
I'm not.
So I don't know. I'm just throwing it out because.
But the question you asked, Ray, was could have great defensive coordinators figured Kyle Shanahan out? If first-time 38-year-old defensive coordinators that were the Indianapolis Colts cornerbacks coach last year have figured him out, that's a much bigger problem. And I find it hard to believe that that's the case. I do think, like Damon's kind of hinting at, a group of relatively inexperienced fans could have figured out the offense yesterday. And I heard a soundbite from Kyle after the game where he talked about, oh, you know, they were playing soft coverage over the top, so we really just took what they were giving us underneath. But another case for me of I don't believe what you're saying, and it's hard for me to figure out why you think this is the right thing to say, because I don't care how soft the coverage is. You didn't want to take one shot all game long. There wasn't a time where you think you could have snuck in a shot deep. Nobody on this team could beat soft coverage deep ever. I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me. I think it's hard for me not to imagine that the game plan is limited. And since, as you point out, it's not the new guy, the most obvious way in which it's limited is whether the coach believes the quarterback can make plays down the field. And I don't know how you watch yesterday's game and not end up questioning Kyle Shanahan's belief in Garoppolo's ability to make downfield throws.
Or Jimmy's own belief to make those throws.
I suppose, yeah, because at some point, if we watch the All-22, there are guys going deep, and he just decided not to go there.
I don't have an answer to any of that.
Yeah.
Because no, I don't know what to make, A, of the Eagles' defense, B, what the 49ers could do with relative ease a week ago and chose not to or couldn't do yesterday. I mean, I don't know if the secret Kyle Shanahan is really the guy who wants to run the ball 40 times a game or not. I'm more baffled than anything else. This is a game that looks a lot like the games 2 years ago, only I'm not sure if he's trying to reestablish what he did 2 years ago or if he sees schematic problems or roster problems that maybe he didn't have before.
I mean, here's a version of this question, right? We were all over Brandon Ayuk last week. You know, how come he didn't have any targets? And we sort of glossed over the fact that he was actually on the field a reasonable amount of time, 26 plays, and he ran 13 or 14 routes, I want to say. I don't have routes for this week. But he was on the field for 38 offensive plays, which I know is near the top of that wide receiver list. And he was targeted twice. Now, I don't think any of us believe, because it's absurd, that Kyle Shanahan is throwing a guy out there and telling the quarterback not to throw it to him. That is not happening. So what happened that a guy who last year looked like he could get open almost at will is out there for 38 plays and targeted twice when, again, the offense was not rolling? Is it because he was running downfield routes and Jimmy doesn't want to throw it that far? Is it because he can't get open anymore for some reason? I don't know.
How about this? Brandon Ayuk is nowhere near as established as George Kittle.
That's another one.
Why is he being used like a blocking tight end? Why is George Kittle essentially a forgotten, electric, pass-catching, touchdown-scoring tight end that we all know? George Kittle is 1,000 yards and 80 catches rolling out of bed.
And he was four targets, two of which were screen passes last night, if not three. I don't get it. Because when I watched that night game and Travis Kelce caught that in-breaking route 8 yards past the line of scrimmage and trucked through the entire Ravens defense for a touchdown, I thought to myself, man, George Kittle can do everything that Travis Kelce did on that play. And I don't know that he ran a route past 5 yards once.
The average distance traveled Jimmy's passing attack was less than 4 yards. I mean, it looks, if it isn't a lack of trust by someone, it certainly looks like it. It looked like it in real time. It looks like it as you start going over the box score. It looks like it when you start going over next-gen stats. It's odd. And look, there is a level of a balancing act that the Niners completely won yesterday.
Yep.
They won an ugly slobber-knuckle, brass-knuckle kind of game. Slobber-knuckle? Slobber-knocker, brass-knuckle.
There it is. No, right, slobber-knuckle.
It was a day where clearly more went right than went wrong, but it leaves questions that he is either leaving out there, like Shanahan is literally playing 2 weeks down the road in every game he's coaching and doesn't want to show you a single play until he has to, because that looked so rudimentary. It looked incredibly basic. And if you can win with basic in football, you go right ahead. This is the one thing that I kind of came up with yesterday. Was it Steve DeBerg who was just good enough to get you beat?
That was his rep on a bunch of bad teams.
Right. Jimmy Garoppolo is just good enough to get you the win. Like, it works the other way. He is just good enough to win and win consistently and win often. And he is Mr. QB Sneak. There's no doubt about that. Like, if I ever, would you believe me for a second if I told you that yesterday, with two running quarterbacks available conceptually in Trey Lance and who the Eagles started, that Jimmy Garoppolo got a career high in carries? I mean, it's like Shanahan's messing with us.
I hope he is.
I mean,
I think that would be a great explanation. I've just decided to screw with you.
It's some serious three-dimensional chess if that's what he's doing.
I don't know. That's why I'm baffled by all of it. Because, 17 points ought not get you a win even against a mediocre team. But maybe, and again, I'm just throwing out harebrained theories because that's all I've got. Maybe he's a defensive coach all of a sudden. We're gonna keep you to 10, and it doesn't matter what we do offensively, which also doesn't make any sense at all. But that seems to be the vibe he's giving off. It's that we're gonna choke slam you so that you can't do anything you want, and then we'll do whatever we feel like. I mean, I don't know. I'm 2 games is not enough. 2 games so disparate in the way they played out. Gives me no useful theories.
You know what, though? I think there is one good thing that I can say unqualified. But, well, I guess not unqualified, because I do have to throw out the last 5 minutes of game one. This defense is something. Now, there might be some issues. They're not deep at corner. That's quite obvious. Although Josh Norman, all the grabbing and holding mostly still works.
I thought there were a couple ticky-tacks on him, too.
There were, but that's his style. Yep. That's what he's going to do. He's going to challenge you to call that every single time, and they're not going to. So that defense, they made plays when they had to make plays. And it was guys, for the most part, that we know and love making those plays. It was Jimmy Ward. It was Fred Warner. It was Tart made some big plays in that game.
He did.
Kentavious Street had one play where he was getting held and he still just grabbed a running back, or maybe it was Hurts, with one hand and sort of lifted him and dropped him to the ground. That defense is tough, man. And even though there's no big stats for him, Javon Kinlaw was out there as much as anybody, and he did a job clogging up the middle, because you were not seeing those big up-the-middle gashes that Detroit pulled off. So I like this defense a lot if they can avoid major injury.
Maybe they're the 2001 Ravens and we just don't know it yet.
Yeah, that might actually be an insult to Jimmy Garoppolo, but that is what it looks like. It looks like a coach who's got Trent Dilfer under center. I mean, that's what this game looked like. And I'm not the biggest Garoppolo fan, but all respect to Trent, I think he's better than Trent Dilfer.
No, I wasn't trying to compare quarterbacks. I know.
The thing about Kinlaw, yeah, it was good to have him, and clearly the blocked field goal was a huge momentum moment in that game. But the truth is, the Eagles still ran for 151 yards with a 5.2 yards per carry average. This is after the Lions ran for a 4.8 yards per carry average just the week before. So did it get a little better? No, it actually got a little worse, all things considered. And it was just a weird, weird day of football, because a lot of the numbers, you add them up, you wouldn't have think that the team that won the game necessarily. Not that the Eagles were some great shakes all day long themselves. You did have, that was trench warfare. I've seen that phrase involved in like 30 different headlines about the game. It's the correct phrase to use. That game was decided in between the tackles, and it was odd that in a game that looked like it was being decided in between the tackles, Shanahan left it there to be decided there, especially with the attrition that he had at running back. It was a peculiar day that the Niners were able to survive. And as bad as Jimmy was, he walks away with an argument of, well, actually, it was kind of efficient when it was all said and done.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it bad. Yeah. I'd say as pedestrian, maybe, as boring, maybe, is the best word for what Jimmy was. Workmanlike is a good description. Quickly on the run game for the Eagles, more than half of their yards and all of their yards per carry was Jalen Hurts.
He was good.
So I still, if we're grading the defensive line for run stopping, it was much better than week one for me.
I'll agree with you.
That said,
19 runs, 69 yards, which is
three and a half,
which is pretty good.
Yeah. But
if you take Hurts out of it.
But the problem is you can't just take running quarterbacks out of it. That's half the guys you're going to face this year in your division. It's half the guys in the league practically overall. And you know, if Justin Fields is playing for the Bears when you play them, there's another one, right? They're going to keep being running quarterbacks. So, you know, someone on the text line said, hey, that was off schedule stuff and Hurts got outside. It could happen to any defense. But it happens more to this Niners defense than it does to most good defenses. And I do think that's something they're going to have to figure out if they really want to go places this year.
Your big impressions of the week two win in Philadelphia. There was an awful lot to like. There was plenty to criticize. And that's what we do on Sports Talk Radio. I want to keep on reminding everyone, the Niners won this game. And yet there's a level of anxiety coming back from Philadelphia that I think is undeniable.
No question.
888-957-9570.
I didn't have my mic on. I
was about to say, turn your mic on.
But no question. To echo what you're saying, that it totally feels like that. And we all understand why, right? That it hasn't looked as beautiful as you would have liked, because when we were previewing these first two games, we were saying, yeah, it's on the road, but couldn't have two better road games to start the year. And I think we may have underestimated the Eagles, but in general, that's still the approach we were taking, so it feels underwhelming. If it's not the Packers that dramatically change the level of opponent, it's right after that, because you get Seahawks at Levi's and Cardinals in Arizona the next 2 weeks, and I think we've seen, even if the Seahawks lost yesterday, neither of those teams are going to be easy.
Well, the other weird thing, and this is not 49ers specific, but there's almost no team after 2 weeks that has looked about the same in both of those games.
Right.
So there's a level of sort of random weirdness that I don't know if it's league-wide, but it's pretty damn close. I mean, the Raiders have looked the same both times. They don't run the ball anymore, especially now without Josh Jacobs.
They're good, though.
Yeah. Well, they look good so far. Tampa looks the same. Arizona looks the same. They can't stop anybody, but they will score a lot of points. But after that, you're not sure what you're getting from anybody.
Jets look the same.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, but I'm talking about like playing style.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. But, you know, I know.
I mean, nobody's established who they are yet. And maybe that's normal, but it just seems like there's an element of randomness so far that makes me loath to draw many conclusions.
Yeah, the world beater 1 week can be beaten easily the next. I mean, I don't want to say another cliche, but I believe they said that any given Sunday,
I've heard
that happen. I've heard that too. This is Rudy in Santa Ana. Rudy, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. But I just want to say, you know, we did win, and Jimmy did start off kind of slow, but he got it going. His first pass was a laser that he threaded to Debo, and from that point on, we started rolling. We had second half game control pretty much. We had their defense out there on their heels. They were huffing and puffing, and we played Shanahan's game plan to perfection. We ran the ball down their throat. They got tired, and we kept running it and running it. When we needed to, we passed the ball, and we got that chunk of yardage, got the first down, kept going. And I thought we played great. It was a tough defensive game, but we played them home opener in Philly, which isn't tough. But we did get a job, and we got that W.
There you go. I mean, that's it. Come back with the letter more than any statistics. Get the W. Get that letter. And everything else kind of takes care of itself. I mean, and that's what we're looking at.
And everything he said is totally valid.
Yeah.
There's nothing he said that's crazy or not real. But you can't help. I mean, look, they may have executed certain aspects of the game plan. On the other hand, they clearly did not execute that well because they won this game 17-11, and they had a lot more than three possessions. Like, the offense was not working in the first half, and we would be looking at it totally differently if they had not had an admittedly really good drive. But even on those really good drives, it's usually one good Jimmy throw that leads to a crazy yak play. And again, that works. It's not to say that doesn't work, but it doesn't inspire great confidence in the quarterback.
I don't know what it is meant to inspire, only because I'm not sure what Kyle's trying to get at, and I think Kyle is trying to solve today's problem today. Yesterday's problem was the Eagles give him a less than bold approach to a football game because they established what they wanted to do, and they kept doing it. They weren't very dynamic at all. The week before, they were pretty dynamic. So who are they, and who is this coach that's coaching them?
Here's what's so odd. I mean, this is just maybe the best way to describe how just weird yesterday was. On a day where almost nothing big popped, the Niners also had two touchdown drives of 97 and 92 yards, and it's the very first time that has happened in the same game in 29 years of 49er football. So on a day they couldn't get anything going, they got the two longest same game drives going that they played in nearly 30 years. So it's a day that leaves a ton to talk about. We've got Michael Irvin joining us at the top of the hour, squeezing a call between then and now, 888-957-9570, and we'll take it. We've got an awful lot coming up, though, for you this afternoon, so stay with us. Damon Ratto and Kolsky were brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
So the running back room is basically like where they're stacking bodies these days. Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell will have a chance to play this upcoming week. Concussion protocols for Trey Sermon. Mitchell has the shoulder problem that got him out of the game. The 49ers basically know that Jamichael Hasty won't be around anytime in the next couple of weeks. They're calling that a high ankle sprain. We all know what happened to Raheem Mostert. They're working out Duke Johnson, Lamar Miller, and TJ Yeldon this week as possible backups. I can't help but notice Frank Gore's name is not on this list.
And I'll tell you why, if you don't mind my interrupting you.
Did he get a job?
No, he's turned down opportunities to play football this year because he's working on boxing.
Really? Wait, what?
And that's according to Ian Rappaport. So I didn't pull that out of my ear.
So this is that's tantamount to retirement.
Because
there's no, I'm going to come back from a boxing career. to do this again. So
I did not know this.
I didn't know
this. This, I guess, was yesterday.
Here's a quote.
Yeah.
I've been training for both football and boxing. I've always loved boxing, so that's what I've been doing. And we're trying to make a fight happen. If we do that, you'll see me in the ring. I just fell in love with how hard it is. I felt like, man, I couldn't fight, and I always like a challenge. So I kept doing it and doing it, and I saw myself getting better and better. Starting a boxing career at, what is he, 38? Whew. Frank Gore is one of a kind.
It's got to be easier on the knees. I'll give him that much. But that's the, I mean, you'd think that at this point in your life, not getting hit would sound better than getting hit directly.
Well, and he's like a 5'9 heavyweight, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's punching up at basically every opponent.
Oh, man. I can't lie. I want to see it. Not. I don't want to see Frank Gore get torn apart, but I do want to see it. I can't help it.
It's called morbid curiosity, I believe. That's
yeah. Well, I think he. What if he was good though? I don't know. Maybe I'm. I might be. My love for Frank Gore might be letting me believe things I ought not. But I would watch Frank Gore beat a guy up.
It would break your heart though to watch like Logan Paul.
Yeah,
just
that'd be terrible.
Outreach him.
Just awful.
Oh God.
Pound him.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to see that.
Because like that's the level of fight we're talking about here. It's going to be some human cockfight.
And the fighting game is a disgrace at anyway. Now, I mean, totally. When they're trying to haul out Lamar Odom.
Yeah, it's not.
They've literally decided celebrity boxing is the way to go.
It's not.
It's not. It's very much not.
It's spoiler alert. It's not the way to go.
So Garoppolo's got one of the oddest brands in football. He is an established, no doubt about it, winning quarterback, yet he does it with very little razzle-dazzle attached last week, even in his 300-yard passing performance the week before. We know this is built to be a yards after catch offense, and I don't have a problem with that, but there is a level of not trusting him to test the back of a secondary that I don't know if that reputation follows him or if he invites it or it's Shanahan that doesn't trust him to do it or he himself doesn't trust himself to do it. There's an arm there. I wouldn't call him a weak-armed quarterback, but he leaves things short a little bit. It's like he is the designer Jared Goff.
Mm. That would be my concern if I'm a 49er fan, is all the stuff that Sean McVay said this offseason after he unloaded Jared Goff. And I don't know how much of it he said on record, but all the sort of stuff that was coming. Oh, they can't believe that Matthew Stafford can actually think right on the field. Unbelievable.
I can call any play I want. My quarterback can make any throw.
I'm no longer operating from 30% of my playbook. Like, I wonder if those are the things we're going to hear whenever they make the switch to Trey Lance, because that is what it looks like.
And if there were concern that he needs to now get the new car ready to run the race, well, yesterday they didn't even take the car out of the garage.
I gotta say, the thing he said, I think it was today. Do we have the audio of what he said today when they asked him why Trey Lance didn't play?
I'll find it eventually.
Because it is one of the strangest responses he possibly could have given, and I would love to know what he's thinking.
Here it is.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is only our second game, but same as always. I thought about a couple of situations and stuff, but went a different direction. It's kind of just like any other play call.
So that was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
That's not what you were hoping to hear.
No, although that one's kind of weird as well. Is it really like any other play call? Because you told me it was important to get this guy ready. It was important to get him game experience. That's not like any other play call. Any other play call is what's going to work the best here. And I get that that's always going to be part of the calculation, but if getting him game experience is a priority, it seems to me you should have a better reason than, it's like any other play call, for not getting him any game experience. And when we do get the one from today, I don't want to misquote him, but I believe he said, I just didn't have the urge to put him in. And if you are operating with Trey Lance based on how the urge strikes you during the game, then I have totally misunderstood what we're doing here. Because I thought there was a plan to get this guy ready to be an NFL quarterback. I thought that's what was happening. And if you're telling me it's just based on in-game urges, then that is not what's happening.
I have a theory which will be as well-baked as my others. Maybe he's viewed that Trey Lance isn't ready yet, that he hasn't got enough of the offense absorbed, that he's not comfortable with him playing yet. And again, we're dealing with nothing but small sample sizes here, but a choice not to play him yesterday, just on a whim, suggests to me that it's not, you know, that he's abandoned a plan as much as he is, I don't trust him yet.
And that might be
And it's
part
certainly
of it.
Possible, because he's a rookie with one game plus whatever he did in week one in the last 18 months of experience.
Right. And look, you saw how bad a rookie quarterback can look. I mean, Zach Wilson had such a bad game yesterday. The doubts that normally run through a Jets locker room are echoing even louder than under normal circumstances today. That was bad. But you know what he was? He was winging it. Like, yeah. He was officially letting it loose. Jimmy has, you know, brought himself to that level of, I don't let it loose. But do you operate this offense best with a quarterback who, it, like, you know, scared money don't make none is a phrase that keeps on echoing in my head. Kyle Shanahan granted Matt Maiocco a sit-down at the Greenbrier. So this is before...
This is Saturday.
This is before the Eagles game. And here he was talking about the plans for Lance, the Lance package, how we'll see it, how it will be used. Here's that conversation.
There are certain packages that you do that if you think it helps on a third down, on a first down, in red zone, backed up anywhere, if you think that helps, you put that guy in. I know it's rare to do that with the quarterback, but with Trey, he does bring another element. I mean, he's got a different skill set than what our starter has, so sometimes when you can use that skill set at that position, you do it. I also think it's good for Trey, who, you know, he didn't play at all last year except for that one game. You know, they didn't get a season at North Dakota State, and you go through training camp and you do all this stuff, but once you get into the season and you only have a Wednesday, Thursday practice, Friday's a walkthrough, you can get lost. And I don't want this guy getting totally pushed aside for 2 years in a row. He needs to always be ready, get some playing time if it helps our team.
So stay frosty, Trey Lance. You never know when I'm going to play you, and apparently you never know when I'm not going to play you, which is going to be the entire Eagles game.
Well, you know, again, I don't know what he looks at when he sees Lance, but I do get the sense that based off two games that are wildly disparate, there's no conclusion to draw. He might play, he might get eight snaps on Sunday. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I literally wouldn't be surprised by anything they do at this point.
And you know what? That might be the most believable goal that Shanahan was trying to execute. Because that soundbite you just played, if we take it on face value, there is no way to understand the decision not to play Trey Lance at all yesterday. Just no way. It says, A, it gives us a different element. Boy, did they need a different element. They gained a total of 14 on their first three drives combined. And it looked like poo. At least once, because Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew a wide open receiver by 4 yards. If you don't need a different element, then when do you need it? By the same token, if it's important for this guy to get on the field and get game reps, which you just said, how are we supposed to understand zero game reps yesterday? So it's either he's telling the truth there, and what he said after the game, well, I just didn't feel like it, was a lie, and he actually decided he doesn't trust the guy or something, or that we just heard is a lie intended to confuse not just Ray and you and me, but whoever's trying to defend him next week.
I think we need to find a different word, because it's not lying as much as it is just, I'm going to get through this interview and I don't even care what comes out of my mouth to get through this interview. I just need to get through this interview. So I'm just going to say just words. words.
I think that might be the likeliest thing, is that we've fallen into the trap of believing Kyle Shanahan when he speaks, when in fact he's a football coach. And football coaches get part of their training, in fact, part of their master's, is in saying nothing and not holding yourself to what you said the next day.
Okay, but isn't this a potentially, and who knows, maybe he's going behind the scenes and saying, Trey, that thing I said on TV about needing to get you in the game, it's not true. We're not playing you. But I doubt it. And I just wonder if he would be better served thinking his word salad through to the point where he's not setting expectations for the rookie quarterback that he has no intention of allowing him to meet.
I mean, as long as he's being upfront with the player, setting expectations that then disappoint your fans or fantasy owners, it shouldn't matter to Kyle Shanahan.
I guess not.
And it absolutely doesn't matter to Kyle Shanahan. I think he's talking to Trey Lance every day about any number of things, and whether they bear any relationship to the reality that we think is going on is of absolutely no concern to him.
I just wonder if he said to Trey Lance, yeah, man, I just didn't have the urge to put you in yesterday. Sorry.
No, he definitely did not say that.
Yeah.
That basically was a backhand at the questioner.
I guess so.
Like the way sometimes I got an urge for, like, I think I want some sushi tonight. Mm. Like, I want to, that, and then it's just weird. First of all, let me welcome everybody to your 3 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.